All right, we're going to start at the top of Teremut Aleph. Gemara is going to continue some Agadato here about Tzedakah. And the first case deals with a little bit of what we discussed yesterday in terms of the ability of to create social contracts or agreements between different parties. So it's four lines down. It says, Hanu. Our Gersa reads Beitre Tabche, but it probably just should read according to the Bach Hanu Tabche. These two butchers that came to agreement. The Avde Inyona Behadei Adodi. They came to a agreement between them. The Chol Man De Ovid Biyom De Chavre. Anybody who worked on the day of his friend. So it sounds like they divided the week, and each individual or somehow they had some agreement about which day they would work. I mean, competitively, they basically created some sort of cartel where each one would work a different day. And if you violated the agreement, then whoever worked on that day, they'd rip up the orot, right? I mean, what the butcher gets is the skins from the animals that he shechted. Then those skins would be ripped in order to cause a loss to that individual so that he would not violate the agreement. That was the knas. So that was the agreement. Choman David biyom dechavrei nakrua lemashchei. They would tear up the skins. Azel chad minayu, avad biyom dechavrei. So one of them did go ahead and violate the agreement. So he went ahead, the other butcher went ahead and ripped up his orot in order to penalize him for violating the agreement. They came to Rava Chayvinu, Rava Lishlume. Rava says you have to pay, you have to compensate for the loss that you just caused him, meaning for ripping up the orot. So in the Brisa that we read yesterday, the middle of Chedomud Bet, the one on Tan Rabbanan, Kupa Shel Tzedakah, Nigveit B'Shnayim, Itzkalecha B'Shlosha, the last line there was Asiyah Kitzatam. One of the Bnei Ha'ir, the agreements or the social contract between the people of the city, is they're allowed to penalize each other. They're allowed to set up knasim for those that violate agreements. So over here, that's exactly what they did. Right, so lo hadr le Rava. Rava did not respond to the question. Amar Papa Shabir Avad lo hadr le Mide. Rava was right for not responding in this instance. That's when the Bnei Mata, the people of the city, right, don't defer to some sort of leader in the city. I mean, yes, they can impose fines on each other, and they can act within the social contract they established. That assumes that there is no leadership. If there's someone, a chashuv person in the city, then it's not up to them to set up these standards or agreements without the acquiescence or participation of that individual. So the fact that they did this outside of the framework of the Adam Chashuv, outside the leader, and this other individual went ahead and ripped up the orot of the other butcher based on that agreement without the approval or without being in front of the Adam Choshuv, that is not classified as Asiyah Kitzatan. So they have to defer to a leader when there is a leader around. So that they didn't do in this instance. All right, Tan Rabbanan. Ein mechashvin b'tzedakah im gavay tzedakah v'lo b'kdeishim mi'al gizbarim. Basically, we don't audit the Gavai Tzedakah or the Gizbarim, the treasurers of the Mikdash. We don't go and ask them to give us a detailed explanation of how they spent the money. The assumption is that since they are appointed and trusted individuals that are appointed, that we don't go ahead and then, after the fact, try to impose an audit on them. Even though we don't have a proof from here, nevertheless, we have a zeichel davar. Why this next pasuk is not a proof is subject to somewhat of a difference between Rashi and Tosfos. We also reach Nemar, right? V'alech shavu et anashim asher yitnu et hakesef al yadam latet osei hamelacha ki be'emunah hem osim. Right? This is from when they go to renovate the mikdash. Right? It's fallen into disrepair, and they go to renovate the mikdash. They appoint people to oversee the renovation of the Mikdash, right? We had this, we read this by Parshat Shkalim, right? And those individuals, we said that it says, Ki be'emunah hemosim. Those that are appointed to pay the money, to take the treasury money and to pay the workers in order to ensure that the renovations took place, we don't check on them, right? Because they be'emunah hemosim. They're trustworthy and they're trusted, and therefore we don't audit them. So why is this not a proof? This is exactly what we're looking for. Here you see that these are gizbarim or workers in Hekdesh, and we don't audit them. So Rashi says the reason that this is a in Raya Ludovar is because the Lord Gabait Stakaktiv. I mean, it's only a Zeichel Ludovar because it only deals with one of the two areas that we're trying to prove, which is that it deals with the Gizbarim but doesn't deal with the Gabait Staka. Then Rashi adds at the end also, which is a very interesting line, that Rashi says that it happens to be over here that these individuals were responsible for a tremendous number of workers over here. And because they were responsible for a tremendous number of workers, therefore it's impossible for them to be totally on top of exactly what the expenditures were. And that's why we can't demand of them. We have to believe what they do, and we can't demand it of them, because we say in general, Rashi quotes the Gemara that we had before, Balabait Tarud B'Polav, right? A Balabait in general, is Tarud B'Polav, he deals with so many things, therefore he forgets. Right? We had that in the Gemara B'Bava Metzia, that's why a Po'el is able to take a Shvuah in order to get his compensation. We say, since the Balabait is Tarud with so many things, that he ends up forgetting. So therefore, we can't demand. It's interesting what Rashi said. We can't demand an audit from them because there's so much going on. Therefore, we can't demand of them to come and show up and give us an exact detail of what they spent the money on.
They didn't have Excel spreadsheets of
that. Right. And receipts, you know, like easy printed receipts for the work. It also says the reason it's Ein Raya, though, is Echlet Dariz Raya Gemura Eina, the shiny Haltam Shayut Sadikim Gemurim. Tosfos says that because it says ki be'emunahim osim, I assume that's what Tosfos is playing on, is that these were unusual individuals that were so trustworthy. So maybe we can't apply that generally to a gabayt stak or even a regular gizbar, because these were unusual individuals. But therefore, it's a zeichel ledavar, not a raya ledavar.
Because maybe we see
that
he did have to give
a cheshbon,
exactly.
The mishkan,
yeah.
Right, what he did. You also have to show the people that you're acting honestly. And we'll see a little bit of that in the Gemara that follows. So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Afal pi sheyesh lo adam gizbar ne'eman betoch beito, yitzor v'yimneh. So just exactly, even though a person has a treasurer within his house, or a person who is responsible within his house, that's ne'eman, you should still go ahead and count the money and ensure that whatever is being done is being done above board. So that's it. So you see, despite the fact that you have someone who's Neman, nevertheless,
what's the meaning of
it's just, I think, someone who is like his treasurer, or someone who takes care of his money. I don't think it's personal accountant, his personal, like Eliezer in the house of Abraham, you know, that he took care of Yosef in the house of Potiphar. Those people were Neman that did all the melacha, that you should still check up on them. You shouldn't just leave them to, even though they're trustworthy, you shouldn't just leave them. Shnemar, b'yitzuru, b'yimnu. Even by the case of the shkalim that they were giving in order for the renovation of the Mikdash, they went ahead and they counted the money and they put it together. You know, they bagged and counted the money so that it was set aside. They knew exactly what was being given over. So Amar Rav Huna, budkim lemizonot, vein budkim leksut. So when it comes to giving tzedakah, right, we check up, we investigate. When someone comes to ask for food, we investigate their need. When they come to ask for clothing, we do not investigate their need. The reason that there's this difference, right, either possibly that's logical or because of the pasuk. A person who shows up without clothing in front of us and asks for clothing, it's clear that he has a need. The fact that he's embarrassed, right? I mean, he's walking around without any clothing. By food, right, there's less of an issue of embarrassment. It's more an issue of need. So there we take the time to look into it. I'm going to say it's a pasuk. It says, hello, right? Paros, ra'ev lachmecha. Paros, right. I'm sorry, I'm reading it the way the Gemara is going to read it in a second, right? Hello, paros, ra'ev lachmecha. Right, so that you shouldn't do, stretch out to the, or give out to those that are hungry, bread. So now the Gemara says, b'shin, right, iktiv, that even though we read it as, Tzvi pointed out, we read it as parus, which means to extend or to give, and it should be with a sin, right? Not even a, I mean with a samach, not even a sin, right? But the Gemara here wants to read it with a shin, which is the right the
Ketiv. It's probably the sin Ketiv.
That it's using a sin rather than a sana to allow us to. Right. Although the if you look up in the source of Shas, it says Bechol Ketiv Prus with the samach. Lechora he plia. Right. So he says the pliyav. It's rechim liyashiv al pi mashukad v'atos v'shabbos. He has a whole, and he says, look in the Marsha that there's a whole thing. He tries to explain this bedochak. Right. So he says that he doesn't. He says v'nichnas lishnot bedochak b'shinoy agirsa k'tzat. Right. Shalom bimkomo. Anyway, he tries to deal with this problem of what you do, because truly the Gemara is limud seems to be like you're suggesting. Right. Is between the difference between a sin and a shin. Right, so how could you have a samach here? You have to deal with the fact that probably that the since they all make the same sound, and maybe that was enough for you know the kri and the ksiv. All right, so now anyway, the way the Gemara is dashing it now is with the shin ktiv, which means parush, v'hadar havle, meaning that you should check into it, look into it, investigate, and then you should then give the individual. So Gemara says v'atam ktiv by clothing, it says kitere arum v'chsito. Right, so there, when it says kitir'eh, la'alter, means as soon as you see him, you should ensure that he is covered, that the one who's naked is covered. So there's by ksut, there's a demand to do it immediately. Right, to invest, no investigation, to take care of them immediately, whereas by the case of a ani who's looking for food, we say, first of all, parush, take a look into it, and then afterwards investigate. Yudamar bodkim l'ksut, ven bodkim l'mizonot, just the opposite. We look into, we investigate when it comes to clothing, we don't investigate when it comes to mizonot. It's logical. When it comes to food, the starvation, hunger, are problems that cause tremendous pain to the individual. It's an affliction, and we want to solve that right away. It's embarrassment, but it's not a, you don't have the pangs of hunger that are hurting this individual. Hello, right here, you see, parus, right, l'ra'ev lachmecha, pros la'alter. I mean, if you read it, not like the, right, the way the Gemara just dashed of the k'tiv, but rather the kri, which is parus, even though that's also the k'tiv, right, really, that you should outstretch it. Your hand means parus, means just extend. Right, udikid garina. The way we read it means immediately you should give the food that they deserve. Batam kib kitere arum uchesito. Shukiyere lecha. Meaning that after you look into it, ire means not that you see, but rather what? That you look into the matter, then you will give to the lachmi the clothing. Right, Tanya kavasit the Rav Yehuda. We have a brace that supports.
So, the first thing that pursuit is first.
I mean, that the order in the pasuk, right, is also that way. All right. Although the Gemara is clearly darshaning from the verb used by each case. All right. Tanya kavetzi the Rabbi Yehuda, bracelet supports position of Rabbi Yehuda. Amar ksuni, bodkim acharav, if he says, clothe me, we look into, we investigate in that instance. Whereas if he says, parnasuni, bodkim, if he says, I need food, then we don't look into the matter. Tznanatam, we have a Mishnah that says, "En pochtim ani haover mi makom lakom mi kikar bepundion me arba sayin besela." So this is a qualification that we have more in Erevin and other places about how you determine what you're giving the ani. But we don't a person ani that is traveling or moving from place to place. We don't give them less than a kikar bepundion, right? A loaf of bread that is worth a pundion, and that's. When you can get arba sa'ah, when you can get four sa'ah for a sela. Right, that's the qualification of what type of money, what we give to the ani. Right, and this is also a subject of machlokus in Erevin, the Gemara in Erevin between Tosfos and the Rambam about exactly what this involved. If you look at the Tosfos, second Tosfos here, it says, "Pochtim ani over mi makom makom mikar bundiyon hakikar ola shisha beitzim." Right, that a kikar gets to be six beitzim. The same hand, then you give half of it to the chenvani. V'hu mazon shtei seudot. That is the classification. The Gemara everywhere who asks about two seudot. That's what you were talking about over here. These shisha beitzim, which is the machlokus. Tosus thinks it's shisha beitzim, and the Rambam thinks it's eight beitzim. So there's about what the shtei seudot are that are established over here. Again, not really the subject of our Gemara. We can deal with it when in Erevin and other places that deal with this issue of shtei seudot. Right. So now, lan, if he stays overnight, right, and he's residing there, nodnim lo parnasat lina. Then not only do we give him food, we give him the monies to payer for his stay overnight, for a place to have a roof over his head. So my pranas natanina, what is that? Amra papa puraya ubesadio. We give him a bed and probably a pillow to put under his head. So you give him a mattress and a pillow, basically, to sleep with. Right, Shabbat, if he stays over Shabbos, then we give him three meals because of Shabbos or Shalosh Udot. So the way it seems to be, the Tosfos says that on Shabbos itself, I mean Shabbos afternoon, we give him three meals. Because the way they used to give the meals is if he comes to you for the meal, then he has a meal left, meaning that night he has a meal. You give him two meals. Every time he comes to you, you give him two meals. So he comes to you in the afternoon, you hand him two meals. One of those meals will be for that evening. The next meal will be for the morning. So when he comes to you on Friday, you give him a meal right for that night, and then for Shabbos the next morning. Now when he comes on Shabbos day to get food, you hand him three meals, because you hand him one for Shalosh Shudas, one for Motzei Shabbos, and then right one for Sunday morning. So that's the way Tosfos reads when he comes on Shabbos. Shabbos means literally on Shabbos b'tzoraim. When he comes to you on Shabbos afternoon, then you give him the three meals in order that he'll have an extra meal to use for Suda Shlishit. Okay.
Not
Pasha Pshah. No. The Pasha Pshah would be that you give it to him on Friday. Beforehand, you would give him the three Sudot for Shabbos, right, in order that he has prepared. I mean, it's also hard that it's some sort of hachana here, where they're handing him three meals, which are on Shabbos itself, for Sunday. I mean, they're giving him Sunday's meals on Shabbos. It seems a little strange. Tosfos deals also with the issue of why we're giving him this Mishnah. This goes according to Rabbi Yekiva, who says, Aseh Shabbat Chachol, right, that you should make Shabbos into Chol, that you should only take two Sudot. Even by Shabbos, you not take from the from the Tamchoin if you need four Shalosh Sudot. So Tosfos qualifies the statement. It says, the Shvil Sudat Shabbat Eno Latchil V'Litol. That a person who has to, because of Shabbos, start taking tzedakah, better to have only two sudot and not take tzedakah. But if he's already taking from the tzedakah, then he may as well take three sudot and have a proper Shabbos. And that qualification of Rabbi Kiva, Aseh Shabbat Rechol, is only if you're talking about, okay, if I take the extra, if I need this extra meal to eat on Shabbos, that will make me or force me to go onto the rolls, right, of tzedakah, then don't do it. But if you're already on the tzedakah rolls, then taking the extra meal for Shabbos, right, no big deal because you're already taking tzedakah at that point in time. It's very interesting. If he goes around and knocks on doors, he goes to collect door from door, then we don't give him money because he's already, quote unquote, taking care of himself. If he's willing to go door to door and ask people for the money, then why should we also expend money on him? The whole idea of having a central tzedakah is that though people don't have to go door to door, and therefore they should just go to the central tzedakah or gabay tzedakah and he'll give them the money. Now, if he's going to go and anyway ask people door to door, then why double pay him by having him go door to door plus give him from the gabay tzedakah? There was this poor person who was going around door to door. So Rapapa did exactly like what just suggested here. He didn't give him money. So this is even more interesting. I'm really Rav Sama braid the Rav Yevil, Rapapa. So Rav Sama says to Rapapa, Imar lo mizdakaklei, ina shachvino lo mizdakaklei. He says, listen, if you're not going to give him tzedakah, people are going to come and suspect that there's something wrong with the Zani, that you're not giving him tzedakah, and then they're not going to give him tzedakah. I mean, that you're going to, in a sense, ruin the reputation of the Zani, and he won't be able to collect money from now on. He says, Amalei, in his kakinlo. So he says, listen, you know, the halacha is that in his kakinlo, we don't give to an Zani. So he says, no. I'm sorry, I should have read, I didn't read the whole thing here. He says, what about the brisa, right, that says we just learned, which is you don't give it to him when he's machzir abtachim. What does it mean? When he comes to you and he's already machzir abtachim, you don't give him a full amount of what his needs are because he's taking care of his needs. But you give him a token amount, which indicates that you are comfortable giving him money, you're comfortable with the reputation of this individual, so you shouldn't ruin his reputation. So it's the difference between, right, Shaul, you were talking about a little bit before, about Marat Ayin, and what other people look. Over here, it's important that other people see you giving to this Ani. the amount or how much you give is less important. So that's what he's saying to him, Rapa, but just give him a small amount. You're not going to support him because he's Machzel HaPtachim. But nevertheless, you have to give him something so he knows that this person is a...
From his own personal pocket.
It sounds like even from the kupa. I'm assuming that's what it means over here. That it means because Rapa, but otherwise... Right, exactly. The price is referring to in his kaking, though, means from the kupa tzedakah.
Look at many things. They mean people will see he's not giving him anything. He's not giving him his own money or he's not giving him...
Right. Your point is that the solution can be either way, either from that Kubat Staka or himself, it will solve the Marasayan will be solved either way. That's correct. Right. So Amar Avasi, Lola Mamina Dama Tzmolatate, Shlishita Shekel Bashana, a person should give less than 1/3 of a shekel per year. Shinemar, Ve Madnu Alenu Mitzvot, Latate Alenu Shlishita Shekel Bashana. So this is the Lavadat Beit Elokeinu. When they came back to build the second Beit HaMikdash, they were very poor when they came back from Bavel. So they when they're building the Mikdash, the imposition of what they gave put on the people was Shlishit Hashekel B'Shana for the Avodat Beit Elokeinu. So we see that the minimum amount that you impose on the Tzibur for Tzedakah is Shlishit Hashekel. So it says, Amar Avasi, Shkula Tzedakah Keneged Kol HaMitzvot. Tzedakah is so important because it's Shkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvot. How do I know that? Shenamar, because it says here from the Pasuk in Nehemiah, V'manu Aleinu Mitzvot. It doesn't, or right, Mitzvot Latet Aleinu, right, or the plural is used rather than mitzvah, right? But mitzvot. Mitzvah in ktiv, kan ela mitzvot, right? So that it says in the plural rather than the singular form in order to indicate that it's what? Keneged kol ha mitzvot.
They're equating berech habayis with tzedakah.
Right. So but we saw that before, that the Gemara sees the gavai tzedakah and the gizbar of hekdesh in the same light, and that giving tzedakah is not always about tzedakah la'ani. Right, tzedakah involves also tzedakah to the Beit Knesset, tzedakah to the Beit Vilkein, to the Mikdash, meaning that for the Berakah Bayit, for taking care of the Mikdash. Right, we today associate tzedakah only with the, you know, it says it right, Meister, and giving to poor people. It's not clear. It might be that you have to, it's tzedakah giving to support Talmud Torah or support institutions and to, right, Beit Knesset are also classified as tzedakah. So here the Gemara clearly sees some equation, although Rashi before said Zech LeDavar but Ein Raya LeDavar, just because of that difference, that Beit Elokeinu is different than, right, different than tzedakah. So you're going to take, well, take it.
Yesterday he was saying that the city can decide to switch from Tamakui to
Kupashal tzedakah, right?
But that's all food.
Right.
Right?
Yeah,
that
is true. That's within all within the same context. Right. Yeah, but it's used. What is it used for? That's right.
You know, that same Maimon said that they can and they
do anything. Use it
for right. That was
communal means that they see good.
That was we saw it towards the end of the daft. The mayor had no right that they can make a tznai on the keys. You can make a tanai alakis that they do whatever they want with it. That's when Ravashi says the same thing, that as I see fit to use it. Right, for the machzalos shel Beit HaKnesset. Exactly, very good. Amar Rabbi Elazar Gadol HaMaaseh, your terminal seh. This is very important. Right. So anybody who works with the tzedakah organization knows this, that it's the person who compels others to give is greater than the one himself who gives. I mean, that the hardest thing is to ask other people for money rather than to give the money yourself. Shenemar v'yam maaseh atzedakah shalom v'odat atzedakah hashkeit uvetach ad ulam. So zakha, right, so over here it says the term that's used is maaseh atzedakah, right? What does that mean, maaseh atzedakah? Right, that's not simply giving tzedakah, it's not the osei tzedakah or the tzedakah, but maaseh tzedakah is the one who compels or others or goes around and collects from others to give tzedakah. So here we see that the bracha comes to those that are right giving tzedakah. So zacha, alo parus l'rav lachmecha. So if, right, you are zoche, right, meaning that you give, it seems to be, if you give properly or you zoche, that those who collect are successful at collecting, then the money will go towards the aniyim. Lo zacha, if it's not the case, v'aniyim rudim tavia bayit, then, right, the poor people will bring or be brought home. And Rashi interprets this, it's interesting, Rashi says, what's the meaning of aniyim rudim? Zu memshelet romi. So to eket tamid, havuv havush anu tzuchim. That they impose taxation or money on the individuals, saying that we always need. So it seems to be the way the Rashi learned the Memra is that if you're Zocheh and give the Tzedakah and the Tzedakah is given properly, then it will go directly to the Aniyim. You'll give your Tzedakah to the Aniyim and it will be paid to him. If not, Lo Zachah, then it will be filtered through the government. I mean that the government will take all the money instead, and then the Aniyim Rudim Tavi Abayit, meaning that the Aniyim will be left because all the monies are going, or the taxation, all the Tzedakah is going towards the government rather than towards the Aniyim of the ear. So Amar Lahu Ravod and B'nei Mechuza B'matutum Minaychu. He says to the people of Mechuza, I beg of you, Oso B'hadei Adadi, take care of each other, Ge'echid La B'chu Shalmo B'machuta, in order that the kingdom will not come and impose. Again, seems, I think, a play on what the previous memra was, that if you don't take care of each other, if you don't give tzedakah to each other, then that tzedakah will be taken by the government. I mean, that they'll impose upon you to pay out to the government, and it'll be, you know, the worst of the two options over here. So Amar Lazar is Majbeit HaMikdash Kayam Adam Shokel Shiklo Umitzkaper Lo. Person gives a shekel and he gets kapara. Chshav Shein Beit HaMikdash HaKayam Im Osim Staka Mutav Vim Lav Baim Obdei Chachamim Notlim Bizra. So that's Tzvi, somewhat of an answer to your question, right? The time the Beit HaMikdash was around, the person gives shekel, that gives him kapara because he gets a chelek b'karbanot, he's part of the tzibur, therefore he gets kapara. Today, that doesn't exist. What's the replacement for that? That is staka. So you see this parallel again between shkalim and giving to the mikdash and staka that the Gemara is drawing. He says, if you go ahead and give staka, good. If not, then the Ovdei Chachamim will come and impose and take it forcibly. I mean, that you're going to lose the money either way, so you may as well give it to tztaka. Nevertheless, even though it's going through the government's hands, it will be considered tztaka, which is important. That even though they have taken, those that impose or steal the monies away from you, it's still classified as tztaka. Right, taxes. So I think that's the answer. That's one of the svarot to say why a person pays when a person pays taxes. Yeah, I agree with you. Right. So one of the svarot to say that one takes the net amount after tzedakah when they come to calculating their maaser, it doesn't take the gross amount, right? Right. I mean, they take the after tax amount, not the pre tax amount. Why is it? Right, so there are two svarot to say. One is that the money doesn't belong to you, meaning that the taxable money is removed before it ever belongs to you. That money actually never is yours, and therefore your earnings are simply the net amount, the post-tax, after-tax amount. The other possibility is the monies that are used, taxed, are used for social purposes or for the tzarchei hatzibur. Right, if they use for tzarchei hatzibur that we saw before, that's qualification of tzedakah or kupat zehut tzedakah. So I think you have to say that. I agree with you that the Gemara doesn't read simply that way. It comes and takes bizroa, sounds like, right, there's thieves or robbers are going to come and take it. But I think from the rest of the Gemara, the previous lines, the bizroa means that the Malchus is going to impose taxation or going to impose, right, levy monies on you, and supposedly the Malchut is distributing or using this money for the benefit of the Klal as a whole.
He also brings the Marasha, says that when they would take more from the rich, what the poor couldn't afford to pay, right, so they would take more from the rich. So that in that sense, is also considered tzedakah. It's like the rich are paying
the heavier burden.
The
pro rata share to the rich is higher. So that's the tzedakah. They protect the aniyim. All right, it's interesting. Very good. So I'm Rav. Hi, Milsa Ishtayli Ula. So I heard this over from Ula, Mishagesh. Or Chate de Ime, who perverted the ways of his mother. All right, we'll get to that later. The Gemara is going to ask the question, why is he called that way? Mishmei de Rabbi Lazar, in the name of Rabbi Lazar. Mai dechtiv, right, v'ilbash tztaka kishuryon. What does it mean that the person should wear it? But Rashashas, we're going to see in a second. Right, we're going to see in a second that the Gemara is going to go through, ask what the issue is. Right, so the person wears tztaka like chain or mail armor, chain mail armor. Right, lomar lecha, ma shiryon ze kol klipa b'klipa mitzafer l'shiryon gadol. Each chain in the chain mail makes up for a greater form of armor. So it's over here, person gives a little bit, it adds up to be a greater amount. Right? And not here that necessarily this is the source, but the Rambam himself quotes, right, the idea by tzedakah that to give each day a small amount of tzedakah is better than to give a single large amount of tzedakah, in order that it, right, teaches the individual, or it has an impact on the individual to be a giver and to give tzedakah. So it's a similar concept, although I think, obviously not exactly what the Rambam is saying. Over here, it's just saying that if you just give a little bit and it doesn't hurt, over time it'll add up to be a large amount that a person's giving to tzedakah. Rabbi Chanina Amar Mihocha, Uchbeged Idim Kol Tzidkatenu. So, Ma Beged Zeh Kol Nima Vinyam Mitztaferet Beged Gadol. Just see over here, like each stitch, right, or each weave of a beged comes together to make a large beged. Av Tzedakah Kol Pruta Uputa Mitztaferet L'Cheshbon Gadol. Each Pruta adds up to be a Cheshbon Gadol. So, Amarai Karilei Ula Meshageish Achatei Dimei. What's the what is this meaning over here? It said, "Bayi minei Rav Achodvai Bar Ami Mirav Sheshet." So you see clearly here that the Ula is not talking about Ula himself, but rather about, we're going to see in a second, either Rav Achodvai or Rav Sheshet, who are the players in the case over here. So minayin lemitzora bimei sipuro shemetmei adam. How do you, or sipuro, right? How do you know that a mitzora, between the time that he does the action of tara, I mean the birds, that he does, that he takes one bird, right, shechs it al mayim chayim, and sprinkles it, and lets the other bird go free, right, between that time and the 7 days later when he brings his karbanot, right, to be tahor, he goes to the mikvah, he brings his karbanot, what is his status? How do we know in that time period that he's metamei adam? So Amar lo, ho metamei begadim, metamei adam. Because we know there, the Torah explicitly says that he's metamei begadim, therefore he must be also metamei adam. So Amar lo, dilma tuma b'chiburim shiny. Mar says that, how do you know that's the case? Maybe Tuma b'chiburim is different. Why? Over here he's wearing the clothing. So since he's wearing the clothing, maybe the being lovesh bigadim is different than touching a third, we'll call it like a third party kli, but touching something outside of the goof versus wearing something might have a different din. One is attached, one is being on the body of the individual, the other one is being touched by the individual, and same would be true about an Adam. Meaning, mitamei Adam is you touching, doing maga by Adam. Maybe that's different than simply wearing clothing. So the din in the Torah is dealing with someone who's wearing clothing. How do you know that has application to outside objects also? That's the way that Rashi reads the Gemara over here. Tosus actually goes ahead and changes the girsa and says that the girsa here makes no sense. So the Rivam says that we're not goreis chiburim over here, that it should be v'dilma tumat bigadim shiny. That he says maybe tumat bigadim is shiny because this isn't really tumat chiburim. Tumat chiburim is a, right, an idea that if you become tamei while you're attached to something else, right, that makes it tamei. So it's not really the proper usage of tumat chiburim, but rather the question is the problem of tumat bigadim. We know that a person who's like nosei, someone who carries something, not only is he metamei himself, but he's metamei his bigadim. So maybe the din of bigadim is independent or different than the tum'ah of Adam. How do I know that? That's the next proof of the Gemara, which is, when it comes to hesit nevela, someone who's mesit nevela, demetamei begadim, bentamei Adam. Right, that a person who is mesit nevela makes his clothing tamei, but yet if he touches another individual after that, or an Adam, he's not metamei him. So you see that the din, they're not correlated. There's no correlation between bigadim becoming tamei and a outside party becoming tamei, a third person becoming tamei. So Gemara says, Amalei, velo sheretz, demetamei Adam minalan. It says to him, okay, you know, how do you know that a sheretz is metamei Adam? La mishum demetamei gadim. He says, isn't it because the sheretz is mitamei begadim? So Malay, sheretz vehejektiv be. What do you mean? Sheretz is explicit. O ish, asher yigah b'chol sheretz. Right, so there we know that, and the Gemara there, darshan, o ish, to l'rabot ish acher. I mean that even someone else is tamei from your touching his sheretz. Elo, shik vazer mitamei adam minalam. How do you know that shik vazer is mitamei adam? Minalam, la mishum to oil mitamei begadim, mitamei adam. Since it's mitamei begadim, it's mitamei adam. Malay, shik vazer, naim vehejektiv be. O ish, the rabot etanogea. Again, that the explicit in the pasuk that it is that way that a third party or an adam will become tamei. So adalei b'bitichuta, he was answering him jokingly, meaning that the reason Rav Chai asked Rav Sheshet, how do you know that the mitzvah is this way? Rav Sheshet's answer was tumat bigadim. So then Rav Chodvai is making fun of him and saying, well, too much sheretz, too much shechvat zera, how do you know them? Because you're metamei begadim. All of those are explicit. Why do you need explicit psukim? If the whole correlation is between too much begadim would automatically give you too much adam, then why do you need too much adam to be mentioned in all these instances, right? That's not necessary. So he's basically poking fun at his answer that he gave him. So of course, Chalash Dati to Rav Sheshet, right? Rav Sheshet became distraught by the response of Rav Chodvai to his answer, right? So Ishtik, Rav Chodvai Barami. He became silent, meaning that he actually says he became an elaim, became a mute, right? And possibly maybe he was deaf also. I don't know. V'yitziyakar Talmudei, and he started to, I don't know, became heavy as Talmud, but that he was unable to learn anymore. That he lost his status as a Talmud Chacham, or he's unable to communicate with others at this point in time, and therefore he lost his learning. So Atye Imei. So his mother came. Yekabach Yekamei. And he came to cry before him. So it's clear that the mother who's coming here is crying before Rav Sheshet. The question is, whose mother came here? Rashi says the mother that came here is Rav Sheshet's mother. The Rach says it's the mother of Rav Al-Chodvai, that his mother came, which, I don't know, to me personally would make a little more sense, that Rav Al-Chodvai's mother came to beg Rav Sheshet to have mercy on her son. Although Rashi says it's Rav Sheshet, obviously because of the we'll see the way the Gemara lays out. So, B'kabachi kamei, Tzavcha, tzavcha, v'lashkach be. She cried and cried or screamed out to him, you know, go ahead. Amrlei. So she says to him, and this from this context is why Rashi thinks it's Rav Sheshet's mother. He says, Chazed dechana chadjai dematzit minayu. You see these breasts that you were fed from, that you nursed from? By rachmei alev, he'd say, have rachamim on him, and he should be healthy, he should become healthy again. So that line of the mother says, these are the breasts that nursed you, right? So obviously the mother of Rav Sheshet. So what does the Rach do? Because again, the Rach reads more simply in the Gemara, because who would come and beg for rachamim here would be the mother of Rav Chodvai. So he says that Rav Chodvai's mother was a wet nurse, and she nursed Rav Sheshet. So that's one who she said to Rav Sheshet, that I nursed you, have rachamim, right, on me, meaning that my child that came from me. So that's the way the Rach lands it.
Between the fact that he nursed from his mother, what's the mother trying to say?
No, the mother's saying that you. I'm making a request. Right, I took care of
you.
Right, I took care of you. You have to take care of what I'm asking for you here. How can you refuse my results? Right. So now that's what it means before when he said Ula Mishagesh or Chate Dime, the one who right was perverted the ways of his mother, but caused his mother to speak in such an inappropriate manner. Right, so that was referring either to Rav Sheshet, it's either referring to Rav Sheshet or it's referring to Rav Chodvai, depending if you look like the Rach. All right. So okay, while we're dealing with this topic, how do we know that a Mitzora, Bimei Supro, is Tamei Adam? Kedetani Rav Shem Bayochai, Omer, Ne'amar Kibbutz Begadim Bimei Supro, Ne'amar Kibbutz Begadim Bimei Chaluto. It says that the requirement of the Mitzora to wash his clothing, both when he's full-fledged Mitzora, as well as when he is during that seven-day period, right, when he waits in between the time of the Tahara to the time he brings his Karbanot, both of them require Kibbutz Begadim. Ma'alahala Metamei Adam, Afkan Metamei Adam, just like by Bimei Chaluto, he clearly is Metamei Adam, so to over here is Metamei Adam. So even though, truthfully, we don't make such a hekesh, because there are differences between being chuto and being supero, here the Gemara says that the hekesh is applicable or is valid just for this item, the dafka lahamilsud, for this item that it works, this hekesh. It's not a general hekesh between the two times. Amar Rav Elazar Gadolo said, Tzedakah b'seter yoter mi-Moshe Rabbeinu. Great is the one who does tzedakah privately and quietly. He's greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Tzedakah b'Moshe Rabbeinu k'tiv ki yagorti mipnei ha'af ve'achaymah. Right, that when he's telling Bnei Yisrael how he was, right, he was repelled by the anger from Hashem about what Bnei Yisrael had done, right? So he was taken aback, or he had to deal with the fact that Hashem was so angry at them. Vila Bosei Tzedakah Ktiv, right? By Osei Tzedakah, it says Matan B'Seiter Yichpeh Af, right? That the one who gives quietly or privately Yichpeh Af, he will right bend over or force back the anger, right? He will over there. He will not be repelled by the anger, but he will repel the anger. B'shochad b'cheik chama aza. So how to read this next piece, right, is question. Over here, it seems to be that the way we're reading it over here is b'shochad. The shochad over here is not in a negative sense, right? But rather shochad is just like bribery is given privately. So too, the tzedakah that is given privately, right? B'cheik chama aza. It also protects against the chama aza, the great anger. So that's why chama and af are protected by that by tzedakah b'matanam b'seiter. U'pligid Rabbi Yitzchak. This argues Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak af kofer chama chema eno kofer. Right? That it protects against af, but does not protect against chema. Shneamar, as it says, shochad b'cheik chema aza. Af upish shochad b'cheik chema aza. Right, even though there is shochad b'cheik. Again, shochad b'cheik here means matan b'seiter. Right, it's takad is given privately. Nevertheless, the chema aza, that the anger is still there. It doesn't use a verb, right? Some sort of verb of controlling the anger, as opposed to where it says matan b'seiter yich be'af, where it's a verb that says that the af is held back. Over here, it just says shochad b'cheik chema aza. It doesn't have a verb to describe what happens. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, what does that mean? It means that despite the fact that there's matan b'seiter, the chema, the anger is still there. Yigadam Rav Yitzchak kol dayan shenotel shochad mevi chema or chema aza l'olam. So over here, right, now he reads it like shochad, real shochad. Anybody who takes shochad, right, then there's anger left in the world. Shenemar v'shochad b'cheik, right, just like the Gemara, we have pashup shat, rather than what we've been reading the pasuk now to mean shochad, meaning not the literal shochad, but the figurative shochad, which means giving privately, spimlatan b'seit there, but positive sense. Now he reads it literally. What is shochad? Shochad is taking bribery. So v'amar Rabbi Yitzchak kol notein pruta la'ani mitbarech b'sheish brachot. Anybody who gives a pruta to ani gets six brachot. B'mayfaso b'dvarim mitbarech miyud alef brachot. And one who doesn't give money, but rather speaks to the ani or does something to relieve the pain of the ani, not through monetary means, but rather through speaking to him, then he's mitbarech b'yud alef brachot. He gets 11 brachot. And the way Tosos reads it, that he says, Tosos says that there was a girsa that read ve'hanotein putal ani ve'hamefaiso, that one who gives the tzedakah plus his mefaiso gets yud alef brachot. Tosos rejects that girsa and says no, ve'hamefaiso is the right girsa over here, and it means yud alef brachot, and therefore he's not goresa, because he says therefore if a person is both gives and mefaiso, he gets 17 brachot, right? The one who gives a pruta to ani gets the 6 brachot. Now the Gemara here quotes the psukim, but it's Ikar Chaser Min HaSefer. They're quoting the part from Yishayahu that talks about Halo Parus. And here Parus again is done is written with a sin, even though as the Sos HaShas corrects it, it should be written with a samich, right? Midrim Tavi Bayet Kitre Arum. These are all the psukim that we quoted before about the obligation to do tzedakah. The Bach brings the remainder of the psukim down, where actually where all the brachot are found. So that says Chtiv. The pasuk afterwards says Azipaka Kashacha Orecha, that your light will burst forth like the morning. Baruchatcha Mehira Tatzmiach, and your wounds will be healed quickly. Valach lefanecha tzidkecha, and your righteousness will go before you. Kvod Hashem yasecha, and the Kvod Hashem will gather you in. Va'az tikra, v'Hashem ya'aneh, you'll call out, and Hashem will answer. Tishava, you'll beseech. V'yomar hineni, and Hashem will say, He is available. So there we had 6 items, right? There's Azi Baka Shachar, right? We had Baruchotcha Meira. And then number 3 is Valach lefanecha tzidkecha. Kvod Hashem yasvecha is 4. Azikra'ava Hashem yaneh is 5. And Tishava v'yomar hineni is 6. So those are the 6 brachot that come about for the person is halo parus, right? Lani rachmecha, which is the person who gives tzedakah, the ra'ev lachmecha, the one who outstretches his hand, breaks bread for the poor. That's someone actually gives tzedakah. Now the Gemara says, v'mafayso b'dvarim mitbarech v'chatasir b'chot, someone who takes care of the ani, not with monetary-wise, but rather through giving him or comforting him, then he gets 11 brachot shenemar. So now the psuk, these are psukim that are actually subsequent to the psukim we just read before. It says, v'tapek l'ra'ev nafshecha, right, then you will provide to the hungry nafshecha, your soul, v'nefesh na'ana tazbia, and the afflicted soul you will fill. So that is referring to not to actually physical food, but rather to the comfort and, I guess, spiritual side of giving him comfort and consoling him and taking care of him. That is a mefaiso b'dvarim. Then the Gemara continues, v'zarach b'choshech harecha, your light will burst forth, right, in the darkness. That's 1 bracha. V'afelatcha ketzaraim, and your darkness will be like the day. That's 2. V'nachcha Hashem tamid, Hashem will always lead you. That's 3. V'izbia b'tzach tzachot nafshecha, and Hashem will satisfy you even when there is drought. That's 4. And this puzzle continues, which you don't have again here. V'gomer, as Ikar Chasim and Serve, Atzmotecha Yechalitz, right, and your bones will be strong. Vaita Kigan Raveh, that's number 5. And then we have number 6 is Aita Kigan Raveh, you'll be like a garden that is well watered. Uchumotza 7 is chumotza mayim eshali chazvu meimav. And like a person who finds water, which is true water, that it's not, will never lie or never not be there for you. Then the pasuk now continues, ubanum, at this point, and then it continues, uvanu mimcha charvot olam, and from you they will build up that which is destroyed, the desolations of the world, mustei dovador tokomeim, and the establishing those for generations will be brought up by you. So that's again 8 and 9. And then the psukim, again, which you don't have here, v'gomer, is v'kora lecha goder peretz, and you'll be called one who puts in the breach, you know, is fences in the breach, that's number 10, and mishovev nitivot lashavet, and one who returns the paths to their old ways, and that's number 11. So those are the 11 brachot that comes to someone who is mefaisel bidvarim. Rabbi Yitzchak, Ma'idichtiv rodev tzedakah v'chesed yimatzei chayim tzedakah v'chavod. That a person who goes after tzedakah will get life, tzedakah, and kavod. So I'm going to ask the obvious question. Yishum d'rofev tzedakah yimatzei tzedakah. Someone who chases after tzedakah will then get stuck up? That doesn't make sense, right? That makes it almost counterintuitive. Elam alecha, kol yodif achar tzedaka, kodesh baruch hu mamsilo ma'ot voseba in tzedaka. That means that a person who does tzedaka, Hashem will make him, give him the ability to do more tzedaka. So that means tzedaka. Tzedaka is not that you will get tzedaka, but rather it will afford you the opportunity to do tzedaka. Nachum Yitzchak amar, kodesh baruch hu mamsilo bnei adam amuganim lasot lehem tzedaka, kedei kalbei lehem tzcharo. That a person who gives tzedaka, he will make or give or have people that are appropriate to get tzedaka in order that he'll get reward. Lafuke mai, lafuke midorish the rabba, that it comes to exclude that which rabba is dorish. The dorish rabba might echtev, you mukshalim lefanecha be'et apucho, asebahem. So that Yirmiyahu asks for the people in Atot who are bothering Yirmiyahu, that Hashem should trip them up at the time of his anger, meaning asebahem, what should he do with them? Make sure that the things that they give don't go to the appropriate people. Amar Yirmiyahu, lefi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, afilu b'shar shekofim et Yitzran, umakshim lasot tzedakah, even when they do right. Right, and they go ahead and give tzedakah lefanecha, right? Yichshilam bivnei adam sheinim huganim kedei shekabul aleihem schar. Make sure that they give it to people who are not really entitled or not good to give tzedakah to, in order that their tzedakah should not really be tzedakah. So you see that giving to the appropriate person or the tzedakah going to the right cause is important. Rabbi Shimon ben Levi amar kol haragil lasot tzedakah zocheh v'avin lo banim balei chachma balei osher balei agada balei chachma. One who gives tzedakah will have children who have all of these characteristics. Dichtiv, right? The proof is from the pasuk here. Imatzei chayim, right? So that's how do you know from meaning that these are how do you know balei chachma? Dichtiv imatzei chayim. And chayim we know is chachma that we say chachma ki motzei matzah chayim. Right? The chachma is referred to as chayim. Balei osher dichtiv tzedakah. Right? Tzedakah over here meaning the ability to give more tzedakah, so that means osher. Balei agada dichtiv uchvod, right? So it says chvod, and what is ktiv hacha uchvod? Ktiv hatam chvod chachamim in chalu. So that one who darshins the agada is given kavod because people respect them, they come to them to learn, and therefore that kavod that applies to the balei agada would also apply to the one who gives tzedakah. All right, we'll stop over here.